This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Our Father and our God, we thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the abundant blessings that you have brought to us. Thank you for how you're opening our hearts even unto the business that you have, which is life. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for instructing us. Thank you for directing us and blessing us in abundance. Father, we pray that even as we are going into Supernatural Clinic this morning, we pray that you further open up our hearts in the name of Jesus. Help us receive that which you have, even in this lesson, in the name of Jesus. Even help me with utterance, help me with inspiration, so that everyone that hears me, O God, will have an understanding, even of that which you have in your heart. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise God. The topic today is the purpose and power of the church and believer on. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew chapter 5, from verse 13 to 15. Says, ye are the salt of the earth, and if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 to 6, talking about God, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. But Habakkuk 2, verse 14, says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the. So basically, we have two objectives today. The first is to show the potency of the church and the believer upon the earth. To show the potency of the church and the believer upon the earth. And then to unveil the church as God's last hold against the invading and rampant activity of hell on the earth and the church. All right, introduction. Jesus' earthly sojourn culminated in victory over the world, its systems, and every fallen spirit. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, he dealt a decisive blow to the kingdom of darkness and the hosts of hell. Having ascended to the right hand of God, he now assumes a ministry by which man is not only freed from this world and from hell, but also brought into victory over the adversary himself. Let's see Colossians 2:15. Says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hebrews 7:25, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, said, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. While Jesus obtained this victory for all mankind and has exemplified the way to attain it, not every man is yet free or has escaped the grasp of the world and of hell. The world system still succeeds in raising, entangling, and trapping men within it. Galatians chapter 1 verse 4. Talking about our Lord Jesus said, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. To enjoy liberty from the systems of this world, every man must take the responsibility upon himself by following the way to victory laid out by Jesus. This journey begins with believing with the heart and confessing with the mouth the Lord Jesus, after which the soul is added to the church. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, say thou shalt be what? Thou shalt be saved. John chapter 8 verse 31 to 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So from here we can see that believing alone is not all that is needed to walk in the victory that Jesus has laid out. He spoke to the Jews that believed on him, that if you do what? If you continue in my what? In my word. So there is a need for continuity. He's not saying if you continue in church attendance. Church attendance is good, because you will not even have access to the word without church attendance. But it's possible to continue in church attendance without continuing in his word. It's as good as serving in a department is, if a life is void of continuing in the word, that life will never arrive at the point of victory. So we can go over cycles, Wednesdays, Sundays, church programs here and there, but we never arrive at victory. So there's a responsibility upon every believer. Can we say upon every believer?
Every believer.
Say, I am a believer. And I have a responsibility to do what? To continue in his word. It's clearly spelled out. Any man that will not continue in his word can never arrive at the point of victory. Say, then ye shall know the truth. So continuing in his word brings you to a point of knowing. Knowing what can make you what? Free. God is not a mediocre. God is excellent. Say, God is excellent. At everything he does, God is excellent. God pays attention to details. God doesn't just do things for doing sake. That is why when God was creating heaven and the earth and furnishing them with hosts, when I mean hosts, I mean inhabitants of those realms, both of heaven and earth, God invested his best. In the order of things that God can make with his hands, this present heaven and earth is the best. In the order of things that God can make with his hands, if you go and meet God and say, God, create another thing that is better than this heaven and earth, God will say, no. Everything that I can create with my hands, I invested my best in making heaven and making earth. That is why the best of this creation, this present creation, are cherubs. Can we say cherubs? They are angels of the highest realm that Hebrews was saying that, you know, these presents are in their hands. In the hands of, the world to come is not in their hands. But when you talk about this present, heaven and earth, it's in the hands of these creatures. So the way God made a cherub, there is nothing in this present that can beat a cherub. There is no supply of God in this present that can beat a cherub. None. God invested highly in the making of heaven and the earth. And he arranged them in a particular order. And at the very least of the creation, he put the soul of man. Psalm 103 verse 19 was say, God has set his what? His throne in the heavens, and his kingdom does what? Rules over all.
began to talk about angels that he has made spirits. God is a spirit and he made spirits around himself. Say, bless ye the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandment, hearkening unto the voice of his word. That is a cadre of angels. They call them angels. The next verse, say, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts. These ones are also angels too. But they call them what? Hosts. No, growing up, whenever prayer is being led, they say he makes his angel spirit and his ministers flame of fire. Ministers there, we thought it's people holding microphone. But those ministers are also angels in another realm. Lower than the first category that they call angels. They are all angels, but then man is the least of that order. So I'm just trying to say that God really decorated heaven with beings. When you look at what they used to make an angel, one angel said, all your covering, they began to mention those stones. Sardius, topaz, carbuncle, what they used to make one cherubim. You know, that's why they made them from the substances of the realm that they are inhabiting. So all those things that make them up are also compatible with where they are dwelling in. There's a reason why I'm saying all of this. I'm saying this because that being that is troubling the whole earth, we are dealing with a disobedient heaven. So that disobedient heaven, there is no other cherub that has capacity within himself to overcome another cherub. Even Michael, dealing with him, said, the Lord rebuke you. Because inside me, I don't have what it takes to overcome you. So, if you want to leave the present heaven and the earth, because of that disobedient cherub, there is no resource in heaven and earth that can overcome that being. There is no resource. When God was making this being, God invested his best. His best that he could do with his hands, God invested it in those creatures. Hallelujah. So when one of them fell, heaven and earth, under the earth, there is no being that has the ability to deal with him. So when they are saying Jesus laid out a path of victory to overcome the adversary, anything that can overcome the adversary is not of the present. So you must be able to drink into somewhere else to fetch victory over that being. You must find mercy to escape the present, to win the warfare against that being. As long as we remain here, we can never deal with him. As long as we are beings of the present, present heaven, present earth, our life is just to go to the present heaven, we can never overcome that being. Because he's a master of the present. He understands the dynamics and the frame of the present. God did not hide the present from them. What they don't have access to is the world to come. And that world is hid in God. And that is the way, that is the pathway of victory that has been laid up in our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you look at Jesus, Jesus is not a being of the present. Jesus is not a being of this present heaven and this present earth. So when you believe in Jesus, what happens to you is nothing of the present. Your spirit man being quickened is not by materials of the present. If they find you, they won't see those materials in heaven. This present heaven, they don't have the capacity to custode such things. They don't have the strength to hold such things. Those things are hidden in the heaven of God. So when we are talking about man has the responsibility of walking that path that Jesus Christ has laid down. What Jesus Christ did, he came to the earth. Came to the earth and charted a pathway that there is no way you can be intelligent on earth and find that path. Because even angels in all their glory and splendor, their demeanor and power, said angels that are even higher in power and authority, said they desire to look into these things. But these things that they are desiring to look into are not things that they can by themselves see. And then a man was decked with the responsibility of charting that course of victory. The course is C-O-U-R-S-E. So we can say that, oh, the dynamics of what Jesus did is not just to say that, oh, have victory over the adversary. No. Because victory over the adversary means that you are already tapping into something else. Something higher than the adversary. Can we say amen? Something higher than the present. Something higher than things here and things in the present heaven. Because like I said earlier, there is no power, no resource, no authority in the present that can overcome that being. And you know, Jesus walked on earth and charted that victory, that cause to overcoming him and, you know, having a word of access to the Father. You know, scripture says that if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of God. But when that thing happened, do you know that spirits, they began to re-strategize because they did not know what hit them. How Jesus, you know, went into hell, came to the earth, then he ascended beyond the heavens of the angels. And for the first time, God told a man, thy throne, oh what? Oh God. So they were talking to a man with flesh and bones. Say, thy throne, oh God, is forever and ever. The psalmist says that, you know, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I do what? Make your enemies your food. I have a question for you. At that point when Jesus Christ resurrected and ascended, were his enemies not already his footstool? They were, right? Why did the Father tell him that sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? Why? Because when Jesus Christ was resurrected, he was resurrected with people inside him. So although he has the victory, when God is looking at Jesus, he's not just looking at one man, he's looking at him and the body he's resurrecting with. So the Father can see that Jesus Christ has gained victory, but the church that he's rising up with has not yet put the adversary under their feet. So although Jesus Christ has the victory, but the people that were raised with him were not yet fully in that victory. So they were in him, they were not yet with him. When they said we were quickened in him, no, there is a promise for those that will be with him. In Revelation 3, it says that to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me. Say with. Say with. With is different from in. So if you are sitting in him, you are not sitting with him yet. So in him means that you are enjoying the privileges of what he has done. With him means that you have been able to appropriate that which he has done, and you have also carried out steps of obedience to attain that same victory. So he said to him that overcome, that's why they tied it to overcoming. So you can believe and you are quickened and you are raised in him, but you are not yet where? With him. Because at that point, when the Father was looking at him, we did not have the capacity to put that adversary under our feet yet. So they told him, sit until what? Until I make your enemies your footstool. That's what now leads to the next place, the church called out once. Can we say the church?
The church.
Called out once.
Called out once.
The church, also known as ecclesia, which translates to the called out ones, is not a physical building, but is a conglomerate of souls who believe in Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Say, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about what? 3,000 souls. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to what? Is this a building he was adding them to? Was he adding them to a denomination? He was adding them to the church daily. Such as what? You know, let's open Acts, this same Acts chapter 5. Let's look at Acts chapter 5. Who was adding to the church in Acts chapter 2, 47?
The Lord.
I wonder who was adding to the church?
The Lord.
The Lord was adding to the church, Abby?
Yes.
Acts chapter 5, is it verse 14? And believers were the more added to who?
The Lord.
So when a believer is added to the Lord, what does the Lord now do? Can we see that progression? So a believer is one that is added to who? To the Lord. But then the Lord now adds the believer to what? So the first thing the Lord will do to everybody that believes in him is add him to the church. Add that to the Lord, and then the Lord will now add you to the church. That's why a person can become born again anywhere on the earth. The first longing you will have in your heart is to come to a company of people. Anywhere you are looking for... Why is it that in some countries that they are not allowed to gather like this? People, Holy Ghost is still directing them to where people are. To go and fellowship together. To go and have fellowship. To go and meet another person. 2, 3, 4 people. 5 people. 6 people. Together. Having fellowship. Why is that? Because the possibility of continuity is not in isolation. That being you want to fight, the only person that they allow to fight him alone is Jesus Christ. When it comes to us, we will fight him as a church. We will fight him together. There's no possibility of you saying, whoa, I just want to be alone, at least the Lord Jesus. No, you don't have that capacity. Because even the Lord himself will add you to the church. Then he was adding them daily, such as should be saved. So their spirits are regenerated and quickened to sit in Christ in heavenly places. And their souls are called to grow up to their head, who is Christ Jesus. For these people, their spirit is joined to the Lord. But their soul is what? Added to the Lord. Can we see the difference? Their spirit is what? Joined, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But their souls are what? Added to the Lord, added to the church. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? Is one spirit. Unlike other men on earth, believers are joined to the Lord by the Holy Ghost who dwells within them, and through him have access to the Father. By this, we are made distinct and set apart, called out from the world, having been made to drink into another spirit, not the spirit of this world. We have been ordained to manifest God's strength on the earth and to steal the enemy and the avenger. So the Lord himself adds to the church daily such as should be what? Should be saved. In the world that is filled with darkness, I think the first two lessons, we made it clear that man imported another life, even onto the earth. That life called the death. It is called the life of hell. So a man can be on earth and be living hell on earth. Just like you can have heaven on earth. You know, Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray and say after, you know, this manner, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy what? Thy kingdom. Consider thy will be done where? As it is what? In heaven. However, what man currently has on earth is the will of the adversary. Because we have imported another life. From the depth of hell, something else has come to earth that man considers normal. A new normal emerged into the air that was not of God. It was called a life of sin and death. A life of hell and sorrow. And that is the reality upon the whole earth. Because another world came into being. The adversary created another world, and every man is subjected to the curse of the world. No man is free from that curse. No man was free. Every man, you are born into the slavery of that world. You are born into servitude of the world. Some things that we say, this is myself. Even man tried to define man-studied man. Say man-studied man. And then divided man into different temperaments. And say, so you see this one is behaving like a phlegmatic. You see this one is too loud. I like to make friends. He's a sanguine. Say, this one, he's too mean. Ojo man lego. This one is a choleric. This one is so lazy. To even stand up from his bed. Say, one is melancholy. The melancholy sounds, when you hear something that is melancholic, he's sad. I say, a man can always be sad. I say, that is his nature. That is hell. We imported those things from hell. So a man is loquacious, always talking, never able to hold himself. I say, that is me. No, that is not Jesus. Because the person that showed the true manual of how a man should look like, the way God designed a man to be, is the person of Jesus. So Jesus will enter a place and he will talk and talk, and another place he will withdraw himself. Jesus will enter a place and he's very social. Sinners are coming to him. And they say, you are a friend of the sinners. Why are you always at that place? That man was not bound by the limitations of earth. Hell and death did not have a hold on that man. So Jesus would never say, I am phlegmatic. I am choleric. I am sanguine. I am, I'm a blend of two. I'm a Clausen. I'm a Melsan. Sanclaw. Just like you are really, you know, when you say hell and death, now you head there. All those things. You're just trying to mix concussions from hell and death. And when you see a man, he's defending that thing with boldness. Say, this is just me. This is how I like my things done. But the truth is that is not who Jesus is. That is not who Jesus is. Jesus fetched his personality from above, not from hell. When he was talking to his disciples, he said, in this world, we have tribulations. Say, but what? You don't tell a man going through things to be of good cheer. A man going through things wants to carry it on his face. He wants the world to pity him. He wants to know, no. She buy none in dealing with Tony. You are going through a lot to Ekpele. Sorry. Jesus said, when you are fasting, carry oil, put oil on your face. If you tell me, what cream are you using, ma? Because you are not looking at what you are going through. You are looking like something else from another realm. You are looking like who Jesus Christ has breathed upon. Because you are carrying another joyfulness. You are of good cheer. Because an understanding is driving you, because you know that Jesus Christ has overcome the world. So you are not walking in life as though you are a victim. Something bad has happened. Oh my God. You are the most, you know. There's even a lie that you don't understand what I'm going through. Some people will hide in that place. So because I have not gone through what you are going through, I cannot encourage you. Because you are the only one that understands what you are going through. Odakpele. Is that what you want? But Jesus Christ said, in this world we go through things. Yeah. Say, but what?
Be of good cheer.
So I have what? I have overcome the world. We're talking about the church. The church is a called out people. We are not people that define our life by the systems of the world. We are not people that define our joy by what is happening in Nigeria. We are not people that define our hope. Our hope is not limited to the terrains of this world. Why? Because we have a high hope. We have a glorious hope. We have a better hope. A church is one that has been called out of darkness. Peter was saying he has called you out of darkness. Where? Into his marvelous light. So you are not a person that is governed by darkness, by the ideologies, the philosophies that run men. If you enter social media, things they run man. Things they run man. Things that people would be ashamed to put out there or make another person, you know, people are boldly, you know, decadence has entered the world. The way the decadence is now is that it has become things that men are proud of. Things that men are excited to show forth, to show out to the world. Can we say amen? But we are the ecclesia. Say ecclesia.
Ecclesia
is not the church. Ecclesia is not the logo. Ecclesia is not even the name. Ecclesia is a people called out by God. Say I'm an ecclesia. Say I'm an ecclesia. An ecclesia is a people called out by God. Called out by God. Called out by God. Called out by God. You are not to be directed by the affairs and course of this world. I'm an ecclesia. The normal things on earth that makes people sorrowful can no longer make me sorrowful. Expectations of men on earth, that when you have not had these expectations, you are feeling unfulfilled. Because you are drawing fulfillment from something here. That's what the world does. They tie your fulfillment to the earth. But an ecclesia, his fulfillment is tied to God. Because God is calling him out of that darkness. The church, which is the ecclesia, is also Jesus' ground for administering the victory over hell and death. Christ is the head of the church, and his victory over the world, hell and death, is given with and shared with the church, which he promised to build. The church is to be raised and endowed with the spiritual capacity to stand, resist, and prevail against the forces of darkness and withstand the assault of hell. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 to 18. When Jesus Christ was asking his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Say, "You are this, you are that, you are Elias, you are that." And say, "Who you? Who do you say that I am?" And he said that, you know, and Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it." What is a gate? It's a boundary line that, because one of the things that, when we hear gates, we always think of the defensive side. But hell moves its gates. Hell advances, takes in territories. There was a time that, you know, the gate of hell was at the border of, they were still agreeing that marriage is between a man and a woman, and then, but you can marry more. And they're like, but you know that gate has shifted. You know that some children might be born and the understanding of that thing is different. What they'll be taught from school is where hell has moved to, taking a territory. So when you think of gates, don't think of a static barrier, a static barricade. Think of it as an advancing, an advancement to take over boundaries, to run boundaries over. They will change definitions. And before you know it, you are cool with it. You are fine with it. Nothing is bad anymore. Some believers in Nigeria never understood what church from home is. Online church. What they knew growing up was that what my mommy taught me is that on Sunday morning, you wake up and go to church. But when COVID happened, and people could do church online, some people have never gone back to church since then. An advancement of hell in that territory. One thing will just happen. Before, people used to be open with one another. In fact, even in the world itself, when husband and wife, you know, you meet girl, girl meets boy, boy meets girl, they fall in love, and then they get married. Abby? Even they might not last. And then when it doesn't last, they file lawsuits. And then the woman claims a particular portion. And many guys have gone bankrupt. And then the gate of hell, you see the one propagating that. And then somebody that thought of something, okay, I can actually buy all my properties in the name of my mother. You think it's normal? Something counseled him. So girl meets boy, boy meets girl, thinks we are falling in love. He has planned 20 years ahead. So by the time the girl is misbehaving and say, okay, I'm filing for guinea go, okay, let's go to the... And he say, oh, this man does not actually have anything. All his properties are in his mother's name. Can you see that wisdom? You will see how they are beginning to advance, even into marriage. So you see a man entering marriage, but there's no trust. A woman entering marriage, but there's no trust. Everybody's entering it for their own selfish purposes. See, a woman now asking that, before I can commit to you, can I see your document? In whose name is it? You don't know that boundaries in the heart have been broken. Trust is no longer there. That thing you think is an erosion of the gate of hell. Gate of hell is eroding into heart, and we don't even know it. When you say gate of hell, you think gate of hell is... No, those wisdoms, even of how to deal with your wife, how to deal with your husband. Why do we need the church to be built? It's because if the church is not built, gate of hell, we enter church. Jesus does not say that. Jesus does not say that I will leave my church here and the gate of hell. No, I will build my church. So a church that is not built is susceptible to the gate of hell. We are going to have teenagers running with ideas of hell. We are going to have married women that what they are using to live with their husband is hell ideology. You see a husband walking 6 feet, fine man, but what is leading that man is gate of hell. Gate of hell. Men are living, but what is directing their life is hell. And what they are transferring to their children is hell. Transferring hell. The church is, because a child's first understanding of family should be his father and mother. And what he's seeing is hell. What they are preaching to him morning and afternoon is hell. How do you think that child will grow up? It'll be twice as much hell as they are. So when they say he has called us out of darkness into light, it's because if we are not built up and we are doing church, we can do church and still be living by the principles of hell. We can be doing church service morning, afternoon, and night, but we are not yet drawn out from the world. He instituted by his work to administer and preserve the way of victory as established. Satan wars against this through lies and deception to keep men in bondage. Over time, he raises false and erroneous teachers to distort the truth and hinder many from entering into true liberty. In opposition to the church, the adversary stirs persecution and affliction, inciting division within it and seeking to make it rejected. He works tirelessly to intimidate and undermine it, targeting its pillars in order to weaken the church and hinder its effectiveness upon the earth. Satan, they work tirelessly to turn many against the church through offense. See, offense. It is important to know that Jesus ordained the church alone as his footstool on earth to enforce his victory. He continually adds men to the church to deliver them from the onslaught of hell and the raging fury of Satan. No man can partake of the redemption, victory, and salvation obtained by Jesus apart from being added. Satan is fighting the church. Now, all those things you see on social media targeted at the church is hell that is doing all those things. Wanting to discredit the church, wanting to, you know, make you to, you know, when you meet many people, when you meet, they've gone through different things, you know, in the hands of people that they met in church. And that thing is Satan. That thing is Satan. But he wants to discredit the church. But why? Why is he doing that? Because the only hold that God has on earth is through the church. The only hold, say the only hold. The only hold that God has on earth is the church. So if he is able to slander the church, cause offense, cause every people to look at the church one kind, he has successfully pushed his mission. Are we seeing that there are no bad guys that Satan is using to peddle that things and they call themselves ministers but are not? Revelation says some people call themselves, you know, ministers. But they are not. They are peddling other things. But does that now mean that you now generalize the whole church? No. Because the church is still the ground that God is going to use to push back the forces of hell. What does the church stand for? We are a light in a darkened world. Say, I'm a light in this darkened world. Say, I'm a light in the darkened world. I'm a beacon of hope. See, I'm a beacon of hope. See, I am a beacon of hope to every lost and entangled soul. That is entangled souls, they will not come around you and still remain entangled. Entangled soul will not come around you and then you are not shining light to them. That you are quiet or you are complicit to whatever they have in their mind about how life should be lived. They will see you and they will see judgment of life. They will hear you and they will see that, wow, this is something I don't understand. Because the way the world is, the world wants to intimidate you into quietness. They want to be loud about their ideologies of hell and make you quiet about what you understand about life. They want to push it in your face that this is how things should be, even at work. That everybody does it. I'm not everybody. I'm the church. I'm called out from what everybody is doing. I'm not everybody. The world is full of lies and deception. The church only stands as the pillar and ground of truth. It is the place where truth concerning both the created and the uncreated world is preserved. Satan has sought to redefine all things and impose a false meaning of life, causing many to live in deception. The church is an assembled body and a militant troop empowered to wage war and secure victory against hell, death, and Satan. Collectively, we wield a power no adversary can withstand, being equipped with wisdom, power, and strength through Jesus Christ, who is our head. As a church, we are a safety ark. Say, we are a safety ark.
We are a safety ark.
A covert from the storm, rain, and flood of hell. It is like a pitched basket that preserves and sustains souls from the flood of darkness, keeping them afloat and steady for the revelation of salvation obtained in Christ. The church is man's lifeline. Say lifeline.
Lifeline.
An access to the life promised beforehand. The connection back to God is restored through Jesus and sustained on earth through the church. Through it, earth is aligned with heaven, making possible the reception of the blessings and life that were promised. The only thing that gives Satan a headache on earth is the church. The only thing that gives Satan a headache on earth is the church. Forget nation fighting against nation, all those things. The one that Satan is concerned in, because he knows that what can push back his agenda, what can stop him, what can even fall him, is the church. The only entity on earth that has capacity, that has power, that has potential to deal with that cherub is the church. There are potential for many things, though. Potential to buy this, buy that, be this, be that. Don't have many things on earth that has the power, ability to make a man sinless, to make a man deathless, to make a man come to a place whereby the world and its lust is removed from a man. The only entity that has that potential is the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, they are jealous over the church. Let's look at the formation and building of the church against hell. If you're talking about building, what will they use to build the church? We are blessed to be a part of the church. You know, many people pay money to be part of certain institutions. You pay to be, they go, so that they can call you a fellow in a particular profession. But what is greater than the fellowship of the brethren? Fellowship of the saints. You know, when Jesus ascended, after all that happened, Satan was perplexed. The evil spirit, they were shocked. But they felt that, okay, this is something that we can quickly manage. At least one person that he has bamboozled all of us. And then they've raised him. And then we don't have power over him. Okay, everybody left on earth. Let's see how we are going to ensure that nobody follows this path. Abby, he began with intimidation. They changed the story that he did not resurrect. At night, disciples came inside and they stole his body. It began to spread that about, putting fear in the heart of the disciples. Jesus now said, guys, you know what you would do? Just go and wait for me. Go and tarry in Jerusalem. There's something I want to send to you. When I send what I want to send to you, something different will happen. Satan was still trying to do damage control. Was he trying to call, this damage is too much. For the first time, Somebody went through his heaven. And bah, everything crack. Ah, what happened here? He was trying to do damage control, instigating people that these guys, they are lying. At a point when Jesus Christ appeared, everybody, you know, to understand what was happening, the door was shut and Jesus Christ appeared in their midst. So they were scared of people coming to invade them. They were scared of the Roman soldiers coming to accost them. So they shut the door. All of them will be inside. Nobody will go outside. And Satan was thinking that, okay, I'm containing what is happening. At least let me contain the whole thing that is happening. At least if I can just manage these guys that are here, find a way to kill all of them. Everything that happened, Abby, it will be as though nothing has ever happened. And then, the scenario in my head, maybe that day, he woke up, I'm talking about Lucifer, to go and fetch water, to have his bath, whistling, and as he was walking by, he began to hear Rabadaka Severine Shubrakapa. Say, guys, what's happening? Why are people shouting there? Zivana Makate Boshava. Another person, Rub Fa Ke Subra De La Sa Ne. He said, guys, Kilo Shella, what's happening? Come. Say, sir, we don't know what's happening. There are some people in one upper room. They're just saying what we don't understand. Eh? Guys, all of them, they went there. By the time he got there, Peter was speaking. Immediately as Peter finished, 3,000 souls. All of them, brale for the guy. Hey! What I was trying to contain. How come? Because he did not see it coming. He did not see the Holy Ghost coming. He saw Jesus, a man on earth, with flesh and blood, walking the earth. When that man went to heaven, he did not know another can still come. The comforter came. Now the comforter is not working. He's not entering the believers. Hey, what is happening?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Skmata in the name of Susan the Mata. Britain in the Motoni, Britain the Niminum, Britain in the Tom Dadapta. Looking to multiply, looking to bring this increase, bringing this increase, bringing its increase. For you see, it will multiply. Multiplication, set to multiply, set to bring the same increase, set to bring this same increase, set to bring the same increase, bring the multiplication, multiply it, take it out of his control, beyond the control of the adversary. Beyond his control. Many Jesuses.
Yeah.
Many Jesuses.
Yes.
Many
yes.
Christ.
Yes.
Multiply sonship. Multiply Ooh. The son. Multiply the son. Ooh. Multiply. Multiply them. Multiply them.
Yes.
Multiply them. Multiply them. Bring in many sons. Many. For you see, there are many. I have plans for many. I have thoughts of many. Many beyond even the reach of the adversary. Many beyond even the control of the adversary. Many beyond even the containment even of the adversary. Multiply them. I will multiply them. Many seed, even of that same seed, said the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Have you ever thought, you know, when the church, you know, after, you know, the first century and there were struggles and Satan was fighting the church, why do you think that one of the major things that he stole from the church is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Why? Even in churches, we see denomination fighting against denomination. That we don't believe in. Why? Satan hates that thing. The first time, when Holy Ghost, like a rushing mighty wind. You know what they did was that spirits, they threw like a tent over the earth. So that man will not connect God. Abi? So that it's only their thoughts, their whatever they are saying, that men will be doing. But when Jesus broke through, they were trying to steal patch. Them see the patch. But then, Holy Ghost, no be man. Holy Ghost, no be person where you feel whole like that. He said, now like wind didn't come. Say rushing mighty wind. If the rush come, nothing can hold him. Nothing, no limitation, no barrier of spirit can hold the Holy Ghost. Why? Because not even Holy Ghost create those spirits. So Holy Ghost coming like a rushing mighty wind. He entered the whole place. For the first time, even them, they did not know what they were saying. Something began to bubble in their spirit, in their stomach. So in case you are here, you are battling baptism with the Holy Ghost. I don't know if I'm the one. No. I don't know if I'm the one saying rubbish. No, you are not the one saying rubbish. You are not the one saying rubbish. Holy Ghost begins to bubble inside of you. He said they began to speak in tongues as he gave them what? Utterance. So, not the Holy Ghost is speaking tongues though. He just came and he began to, from their inside, begin to give them utterances and they began to speak in tongues. And by speaking in tongues, 3,000 people gather. Say, these guys are drunk. And Peter stood up and said, men and brethren, this is just 9 a.m. in the morning. We are not drunk. Something has happened to us. When something happened to you, you'll be able to tell your colleague, something don't do me. I think you also need to be done with that thing. The word is a primary building instrument of the church. It's potent, powerful, and formidable in judging every operation of darkness. The church is fed and nourished by the word, and through it, victory is secured. It takes truth to rightly perceive the world, design its makeup, and break free from its hold. The spirit of truth is given to operate within the church, progressively revealing the truth of God. Through this, the church is equipped to see, engage, and navigate the world as it truly is, a system shaped by deception. Men are raised, anointed, and given as gifts to the church. They are authorized by the great shepherd to nurture, guide, and tend the flock in his stead, ensuring that the church remains ahead of the advancing forces of darkness through the graces and the supply of the Spirit imparted to them. Most importantly, Jesus is the head, and the church is his body. He continually nourishes and governs his body through the Holy Spirit and his ministry gifts, causing it to grow and leading it into the same victory he obtained over the adversary and the systems of this world. Book of Acts chapter 5, verse 20. After Peter and his brethren were cast into prison because they were preaching Jesus Christ, an angel came and told them, say, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Another thing for this, they also call this the apostles' doctrine. Apart in that, Acts 5, the high priests, the Sadducees, they were saying that you have filled Jerusalem with this, your doctrine. And they called them the men that turned the world upside down. Acts chapter 5. Say, and daily in the temple, talking about Peter and the other apostles, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach who? Teach and preach. Say, Jesus Christ. At this point, we knew that what they had was a dispensation of the milk of the word. Right? Milk of the word is what you are first of all opened up to after believing in Jesus Christ. And what they had was the milk of the word, but they called it teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. So the truth of the matter is that your progressive journey is Jesus Christ. Even milk is the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ. When you progress even into the doctrine of Christ, it's still Jesus Christ. When you progress into everlasting life, it's still Jesus Christ, but at different measures. Because this particular doctrine of the apostles, you know, produced men of honest report. Say, men full of faith and the Holy Ghost. men full of wisdom. There's a manner of life that he called them children of the Holy Ghost. Men that by reason of being under the word, the Holy Ghost is able to shape a particular pattern of life in them. The life of the Holy Ghost. The strength of the word is at different measures, depending on where you are. And the word is a person. We are preaching a person, Jesus Christ. The warfare, the fight that you know they had with the disciples, I think in that same Acts 5:2, was that they said they were preaching resurrection from the dead in the name of Jesus. The Jews, mind you, they understood resurrection from the dead. They understood resurrection from the dead after the order of the law, that you had to keep the law. But these people came and said, there is no other name given on earth by which a man shall be saved. But what? But the name of Jesus. So everything was being routed through Jesus. Eternal judgment was being routed through Jesus. Resurrection from the dead was being routed through Jesus. Doctrine of baptisms was being routed through Jesus. So the first baptism that you receive in Jesus is the baptism by the Spirit. Baptized into the same body and then baptism of the Holy Ghost. Faith towards God, when you are keeping the law, they no longer reckon that as faith towards God. So faith towards God is now routed through Jesus. Repentance from dead works is now routed through Jesus. So when you route all these things through Jesus, you are experiencing and fellowshipping with the milk of the word. And it has a kind of man it produces. Mind you, a man that had been lame, that was sitting at the beautiful gate, he was healed. But when they were preaching resurrection from the dead. They did not at any point preach that miracle. So what they were preaching was resurrection from the dead. Through Jesus, it's the same Jesus that you have hung. Say, God has made him a prince and a savior. So when you begin to mature, they introduce you to the word of Christ. Say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. By which they brought Apostle Paul on the scene. Showing him, you know, how, truth of the matter is, preaching Jesus Christ at the milk of the word does not require revelation. They said, we are eyewitnesses of this. His death. His resurrection, his ascension, they saw him ascend. And that was what they were preaching. But when it came to the work that is in Jesus himself, when it came to the building that is in Jesus himself, to be able to have access into the very makeup, the very genetic makeup of Jesus, you cannot do that by being his disciple here ordinarily. They must open your eyes. Galatians, Apostle Paul now began to say that this Jesus I'm preaching was not given to me by man, but by the revelation. Say the gospel I preach is not by, it was not given to me by man, but I am preaching this gospel by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So they opened up something to Paul that the 12 disciples did not have. This gospel I'm preaching by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Say, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. Say, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at what Stephen taught. Stephen started from God appeared unto our fathers, Father Abraham, and he analyzed what happened from that point to Jesus Christ. He opened up that thing, but he could not have access into what was inside Jesus Christ. So, to have access into what is inside Jesus Christ, this comes by revelation. The Spirit, Holy Ghost, will no longer just be Holy Ghost to you. He has to open up those. No longer a church had been, they had been loving all the saints. They have been having faith towards God. But Paul had to pray that, I pray that you are giving the Spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So you can know Jesus by the flesh, but not know him according to the Spirit, because they have not opened him up to you. So when you are added to a church, it is good to grow, enjoy fellowship with the Holy Ghost, use the milk of the word. But at the point, they must begin to open Jesus to you. Begin to reveal him to you, that you are knowing him beyond that he died, he resurrected, he's seated. Yes, but How was he raised? What were the substances the Father used in raising him up to ensure that he had victory over sin, over hell, over death, and that in every point they were tempting him, but he was overcoming those temptations? Because at a point, when you look at this church, he said murmurings began to arise. Because why? Somebody is taking the food that is meant for some people and giving it to another because he did not like their face. Tribalism setting. Different things can set in if we don't migrate. If we stay at that point, we can become stuck because we don't have an understanding of what made up Jesus in the spirit. Our position and empowerment against the hordes of hell. Our spirit is quickened and we are given the Holy Spirit. We are added to the church and therefore called to be distinct. We are no longer governed by the world, but positioned to be led contrary to the ways and systems of this world. Members of the church, we are first beneficiaries of the goodness of the Lord Jesus and in turn, his ambassadors, bearing the good news of Jesus' triumph and victory for mankind. We are a living evidence of his salvation, and the duty to proclaim his goodness rests upon us. We are better positioned to take a stand against hell and all its works as we grow in understanding and obedience to doctrine through which we are built up and empowered. Through believers, the Lord's agenda for the nations and earth is accomplished. We are not mere men, but the lifeline and hope of the earth. We are raised to express his purpose in the world. And then there are some required heart disposition that God expects every believer in the church towards the nations of the earth. You know, the reason why you need to understand the milk of the word, the doctrine of Christ, and, you know, as we are progressing, even into everlasting life by through the mercies of God, you know, is that when you are at work, you'll be able to easily relate with a believer that is at the milk of the word. And you're not trying to show off. You're not trying to show off. But by wisdom, you are able to engage him from where he is. And by that, there is wisdom to also help bring that person further. Imagine when Apollos, say, was mighty in scriptures, came and was preaching. Say, only knew the baptism of John. Imagine some of us that he met. We finish him. Say, Apollos, what are you saying? You're still in John? Are you kidding me? This thing has moved two dispensations after. You are still staying in John. Say, he knew only John. But say, they took him in. Maybe they even fed him. Say, man of God, that revelation is powerful. Oh. My God. And then from there, say, they expounded it to him more perfectly. See that wisdom? Some of us, his arguments, we know how to argue. What are you saying? You say, is this all there is? By the time we are done, they are drained, we are drained. No life. No life has come out of that conversation. But there's a wisdom Holy Ghost can give you. You know how to engage them from where they are. From where they are, with the limited knowledge that they have, or the understanding they have, you will stay there, dance around it, and you'll be like, wow. And you've not even moved further. You're just in that place of the Holy Ghost. That place of the milk of the word. And then, wisdom will come on how to move them further. Just stay with them. They say, I like the, your perspective to this. I like, there's a program we have. They will now come and say, wow, there's more. Say, oh, wow, really? There's really more. And you say, okay, what did you get? And you fellowship with them till you are able to win them fully over. But if you go like, you don't know it. That's not God's mind, though. If Jesus meets with them, Jesus wants to bring them over. He wants to win them in. So there's a burden it should have in your heart. It's not just to show. It's not just to make them see that, I know something that you don't know. It's a burden in your heart that it will communicate the wisdom on how to bring them closer. There was a woman that Kenneth Hagin spoke about. Her child was a very wayward child. And every time she gets home, she's always nagging the boy. Who this boy? We must go to church. And the boy kept on becoming worse because she was always nagging. No, it's a mother's instinct. You always feel that I've seen that I must talk about it. And she kept on, and the boy would go out, would not follow her to church, go and drink, come back, spoil things. See, when she came to, and she would always tell everybody in the church, pray for my son. He's wayward. Everybody will pray. Next meeting again. Pray for my son. Again said, you are spoiling our prayers with what you are saying. This is your confession every day that he's wayward. Now, just expose him to faith and love. Don't talk to him again about coming to your church. We have prayed. We believe God has heard. Now, you show the life of the church you are coming to. Say, since that day, she heard. She went back home. She did not raise issue of coming to church with the boy again. And the boy was just doing terrible things. So when she was, how are you? Have you eaten? Are you fine? Blah, blah, blah. Take care of the boy. The boy was now observing. What's happening to my mommy? Normally, when he's coming home, there's something to come and defend. When he comes home, there's nothing to fight. Mother is just so sweet, so loving, so calm. Say, oh, how are you? I prayed for you in church today. Blah, blah, blah. Kilo sheyami. What's doing my mommy? And then, one Sunday, just woke up. Mommy, I'm going with you to church. Say, are you sure? Don't you have things to do? Say, mommy, no, I'm going with you to church today. Say, oh, well, if you want to do it, go and do what you want to do. I'm not forcing you. Say, mommy, no, I'm going with you to church. And then the boy went to church. And there was an altar call. And she saw her son stand up, coming to the front. And say, really, you are not the, we can't change any man. You can't. But you can contribute a quota. There's a way you can live. Holy Ghost will inspire you to live that way. And that thing will come by burden. Because you know that this soul cannot just die and go to hell. This soul cannot continue like this. And because of that subjection, keeping her mouth and showing love to that boy later became a pastor. Was she the one that saved him? No. It was the Lord. But there's a quota. Sometimes Holy Ghost will say you should talk. You say you should tell this person about this. And you would have said it. Person will now say something that will arouse something in you. That you feel that, okay. Holy Ghost will say, don't talk again. You have already planted the seed. But no. He has said something. I must address that issue. And by the time you go like that, you'd have spoiled what you even want to do. So there's a wisdom around it. You are a church. You are called out. And there's also a responsibility upon us, you know, to partner with the Lord, to partner with the Holy Ghost. Can't just bow our heads and just thank God for this afternoon.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we appreciate Pastor Praise? Thank you so much for that labor and for the clarity that you brought. Amen. Like Pastor Praise was teaching, the church is the most victorious entity. The church is the strongest entity on the earth. I hope you know that. It might be looking a bit weak. It might be looking a bit divided. But I want us to know. Now, if you go to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2, the scripture says that God created man, right? Both what? Male. And what? And female. You know, then by the time we got to chapter 2 later on, you know, he said that he formed man of the dust of the ground. After that, he breathed breath of life into him. Then later on, as we journey, you later see that God caused a deep sleep to what? To fall on Adam. And what? He says that a rib was taken what? Out of him. You know that when we got born again, we were added to the Lord. Pastor Praise taught us, right? We became one spirit with him. But that is not the only thing that is happening concerning the body. We are also called out. Now, we are called out of the world, but that body is also taken out of the Lord. Like that bone was removed from Adam. You understand? To form an entity. Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as what? Christ is the head of the church. And is also what? The savior of the body. He says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband loves your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. That's the church. By the washing of water by the word. You can see two different things are going on here. You are in body. You are in church. Body church. He then says that they might present it to himself. What? A glorious church. So the church is work in progress. Every time you speak against the church, every time your business is highlighting the imperfections of the church, somewhere we are making a statement to the head. and telling him that, sir, you are not washing that place well enough. Yes. Because the church is work in progress. Jesus doesn't, he has already told us in scripture. So anytime you encounter people and say the church is a mess, they are this, they are that, that person that is speaking is an outsider. Because really, Apostle Paul talked about them. He said that if someone has not taken care of his household, how can he care for the church of God? So when it comes to the church, it's a matter of care. You don't flog the church. You use towel and clean the church. The church is to be taken with great, delicate care. Because if you check Ephesians 5, it says, so men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Apostle Paul was using apostolic wisdom to talk about marriage, but he was talking about something more. Because later you will see it. And he says that, for no man yet ate his flesh, but what? Nourisheth it, number one. And number two, cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. You know, Pastor Praise taught us about is the word that is being used to build the church, to wash the church. Can you read verse 30 together? Say it together. For we are what? Members of his body. Of what? His flesh and of his bones. You know, it's from that bone that you came out from as church. Yes. He says that what? For this cause, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife. Who was the prophet that said this thing? It was Prophet Adam. You know, Adam was a prophet, the first prophet. He talked about it. Now, Adam said it. He said, for this cause what? A man shall leave his father and his mother. Adam didn't have a father and his mother. So it means Adam was talking prophetically about what? Church that was going to come. He says, for this cause, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined what? Unto his wife. And the two shall be what? One flesh. This is marriage, right? But Apostle Paul did not leave this thing hanging. He said, this thing has an earthly application among you as brethren now. But let's go to 32. This is a great mystery. A mystery is already a great thing. But for you to now have a great mystery, it means that he says, but I speak concerning what? Christ, who is the body, and what? The church. He then says that nevertheless, every one of you in particular, so love his wife and himself as the wife see that she reverence her husband. So the church is Jesus' property. Do you understand? The church is the property of Jesus. So there are some things. Jesus has taken the whip. He has taken 40 stripes, save one. He has carried the cross. He has put the thorns upon his head. He has laid in hell. He has wept like Jonah in the fish. He was taken to the gates. He was taken to the gates of hell like Jonah was crying in advance. Jesus has done some things because of the church. If you lay your hands on the church to whip the church, by our comments, by our division, by our stripes, we are doing something to the Lord. Because this is Jesus' greatest investment ever. Jesus will give parables. He will say, a certain man went to receive a kingdom, or a certain father set a marriage feast for his son. The church is being called to that feast, and the church is Jesus' project. The Lord God made a proclamation in Genesis. He said that, I will put enmity between what? Your seed and her seed. He said that, he will bruise your heel. You know, talking about that which is going to come out from the church, that company, the man child. He will bruise your head and thou shalt bruise his heel. So it is this same woman that looked weak, that was first of all what? He said deceived. This same woman, now in a great mystery called the church. If you're in the church, can you shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
This same woman is the one. Is the one. You know, Pastor Praise has talked about that. Jesus has secured victory as the head. Now we are called like to say, we'll grow what? Up to him in all things and hold the head. And the way Jesus is going to deal with the serpent, he's not going to use his head and give the serpent head, but he's going to use his leg. And that leg is what? The church. That leg is what is going to put on the footstool and crush the head of the serpent. Paul told in Romans, I think 13, he says that, and the God of peace shall what? Say, can crush Satan under your feet, what? Shortly. So that's why Satan is agitated, because the issue is not maybe they will use one sword, cut. It is going to be a feet matter. That's the lowest level of defeat, to use feet to crush the head. And that is the destiny of the church. So the church is not weak. The church is not broken. We must have hope concerning what God is doing in the church. We have been added to the body, and the Lord has what? Added us unto his church. So, you know, I want us to trust God. I want us to know that we are part of a victorious company. We are not a beggarly company. We are here to see the best of the church. We are going to see the glorious church emerge as Christ is working on it. So I don't want us to also be discouraged. I don't want us to also be let down. I want us to be full of what? Of faith. Because the church is the hope of the earth. The church is the light of the world and is the salt of the earth. You know, I trust that the Lord will help us mightily in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lovesyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.